Welcome to Conversations in Aesthetics, the podcast that explores the world of aesthetic medicine. Join the Aesthetic Source team along with special expert guests every fortnight for candid conversations, insight, and an exploration of the challenges, opportunities, and wider trends that drive this dynamic industry. Well, hello, everybody. Today we are talking about demystifying actives in skincare, separating fact from fiction. I'm joined by a very special guest, somebody I have known for many, many years, Andrew Hansford, founder of ACH Aesthetics. Welcome, Andrew. It's so good to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Lorna. It's really great to be here.
Why don't we start with you telling us just a little bit about your background? What brings you to the point where you are an expert in skincare and education?
I teach, basically. So I have a company now where I teach like advanced therapists and people when they want to learn more, basically. I thought there was a gap in the industry about 15 years ago when I stepped in from the education, especially beauty therapists. They weren't given quite as much than they were needed, and they were very hungry for lots more advanced education. So I spent a lot of time studying with the likes of your wonderful self, who taught me lots and lots and lots, to help them broaden their horizons and understand the importance behind good skincare and not just brand related or brand training, but to understand the concept behind it.
Brilliant. So I think it's really important at this point in the podcast, because we're going to be talking about skincare and learning about skincare and how to communicate skincare. Where would somebody find you to get education, and what education are you able to provide to people?
Well, the company is called ACH Aesthetics, and it's in Tower Bridge in London. All the information is on that website. So the courses are like the anatomy, physiology, peels, medical needling, mesotherapy, etc. But they all are completely unbiased and totally bespoke. So there's no alliance to brands. However, by association, of course there is, because I do have to use the best of the best. So whether it comes from mesotherapy or whether it's peeling protocols, I would like the delegates to understand how to do it from more of an educational perspective, and then that gives them the ability and the choice to go out and find the best possible products to work within that particular treatment. Of course, I give them my options after the training is over and show them and my opinion, etc., because they want to know that. Of course they do. I've been around since, you know, forever, and I do have my favorites, and I think it's more important for them to understand that. And again, but make their own personal choice, as opposed to it being forced on them by a brand teaching a specific protocol.
You have a masterclass on understanding actives.
Yes.
I think that's really exciting, because I think that's really, really important. Why did you develop that specific course, Understanding Actives?
Well, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere. I kept getting asked the same kind of questions. What is retinol? What is vitamin C or L-ascorbic acid? And I'm kind of going, why do you not know this? But it goes back to what I said earlier. A lot of the time, because most of these people are trained via a brand, they just say, this is your night cream. It contains vitamin A. They don't spend time explaining why you should use it. Or if they do, it's extremely minimal. And they didn't understand the differences between retinaldehydes as opposed to retinol, all of it. Just didn't get it. I'm thinking, why do you not know this? So I wrote it and then took it to the extreme, as per usual, and put in all of the different ones, which I included SPF as an active, because as far as I'm concerned, it absolutely is. And it's gone down so, so well, because once again, it's like I mentioned earlier, I want to be able to give them this information from a non-brand perspective. So retinol is retinol. End of. Then the product can be worked in with that particular stunning ingredient, and how it can be worked in with other ingredients, et cetera, et cetera. That's where the brand comes in. And if the brand is good, they will expand on that information. And then by the end of it, the product is delivered. But prior to that, you've learned about why it should be used, as opposed to not. So many of them just didn't know why they were doing it.
So given people don't know, one of the things I find people don't know is they don't understand the basic terminology. So before we talk too much about specific ingredients, and you know this because we've talked about this so many times before, I get very frustrated with the term cosmeceutical. So what is a cosmeceutical and what isn't a cosmeceutical?
You know, it's like, how long is a piece of string on that one, isn't it, really? I mean, they all come up with these different words. Really, to me, I don't actually really listen to those words anymore, really. Maybe sound a bit odd, but I listen to the backstory of the brand. So I know pharmaceutical is another one. Cosmeceutical, of course. I would put cosmeceutical in kind of a generalized bracket. But if you go down a brand who have the legitimacy with their backstory and their papers and their trials and all of the studies, then suddenly that word is technically irrelevant because you've been given all that information and you have the ethos and all the understandings for how to move forward. But otherwise, just putting a word in front of a product line and expecting people to jump on the bandwagon, which unfortunately sometimes people do. So if they say pharmacy grade, really, how is that even possible if it isn't pharmacy distributed or prescribed?
I find it really frustrating. And if it's difficult for us on the professional side of this market to find out what the truth is, how on earth do consumers get the accurate information? It's really difficult for them. And I think we should be having dialogue about how we communicate and making sure that it's correct, because it's misleading. I walked through a supermarket the other day. Everything is clinically proven.
9 out of 10 people love it. And that, you know, that's in-house as well. So with lots of ranges, especially the good ones, the study's all external. That's what you want, because then it's not biased in any way. But you will have that with everything you buy in various supermarkets and drugstores.
So, Andrew, how do you assess a skincare brand? If somebody comes to you with something new and says, look, this is the latest thing from America or the latest thing from the Far East, what are you going to go through as a process to choose whether you bring it into your trainings?
I've been told I'm a little bit hard on this particular subject. The first thing I ask is, before you get into any information regarding your product line, could you please provide me with all of the studies, the trials, and everything else? And a lot of the time they say either we don't have them, or they say we'll send them to you and I never hear from them again, or they send them to me and they're in-store, in-house trials. Like, as I said, 9 out of 10 people love it. I tend to walk away at that point.
Do you have a connection with the university so you can get the truly published peer-reviewed clinical papers from PubMed or whatever other?
Yes, I do. So even if I'm kind of on the right track with the brand and I'm thinking, now this one's exciting me, let me figure out a little bit more, I'll go into a rabbit hole in PubMed and speak to the university and various other things, because obviously it's due diligence from my perspective to make sure that I'm not talking nonsense first of all, and that they're going to be able to deliver these results and clinically proven products to their clients. So that's most important. But to be honest, because we are, as you said earlier, Lorna, there's so many people out there saying so many things that you're kind of almost removing the first port of call. So if they can't provide the clinical studies, why would I even entertain moving forward on that? And if I created a product or a brand myself and I knew it worked, I'd want to scream it from the rooftops. And the only way of doing that is by making sure you have the studies to back it up. And that's probably a very, very large proportion of most brands out there. There's only a few that can give you that information and also freely give you that information as well. Because a lot of times studies, trials, white papers are an expensive operation and sometimes they keep them to themselves. But there are brands who are very willing to offer that information. And when they do that, I'm already on board.
And sometimes it's that they can offer an abstract because the full paper is behind PubMed. It's not that it doesn't exist. It's that they can't give it to you for copyright reasons, but you can go and get it yourself. And those are the ones that make me excited. And yeah. I know we've talked about this so many times, you know, when it's not freely available, it means that it's been published in a journal which protects its copyright, gives it a level to me of ethical behavior and excellence.
excellent is the perfect word. It absolutely is. And it's, I mean, you've done it yourself. I know you have more, probably more times than me, that you go into that rabbit hole and PubMed. And I'm like, you go in to look at one thing and like 2.5 hours later, you've just found yourself in a completely different environment.
So that's all very well and good with all of the technical stuff. Once you've decided to take on a brand, how do you communicate to through your delegates and direct to your patients yourself? Because you see patients yourself as well as doing the teaching. So how do you take all of that knowledge and wrap it up in an accessible way for patients?
I break it right down to basics. Right down to basics. Give them the main ingredients that are in it and what they do. Give them a very basic outline on what their daily regime is. I'm very pushy about when and how to use it, including the SPF protocol. If they don't use SPF, then I don't even recommend anything. But you can't blind them with science, which I think a lot of the time they do. But if you've got a good product in your arsenal, and I don't consider myself a really good salesman, but apparently I'm quite good at it. I don't quite understand how that actually works, but I think it's the sales through education, is it? If I believe in something, I can sell it easily and very simply.
I think we did something a few months ago, didn't we, with a new product where we said, why don't you try it for 7 days?
Oh, yes. Lorna sent me a lovely product. So I did it properly. I took the photograph day one and I took the photograph day seven. And I trust Lorna implicitly, so she would never send anything that wasn't relevant. However, I got the concept. I understood process behind how this could work, but obviously we still had to do it. And it did. It did turn my skin around in 7 days. And I think it's also quite important to point that sometimes it's harder to turn around someone who hasn't got bad skin than someone who has. So I don't luckily have particularly bad skin. So to turn around someone's skin who isn't that particularly bad, it was even more relevant in actual fact. And the before and after photographs are quite amazing. So that's what I can then pass that information on to the client. And also as another little FYI, it's like, why would I recommend something I haven't used, that I haven't used over a period of time to be able to experience it myself? Not just say, so-and-so said, this is amazing, go for it. No, absolutely not.
You said earlier on you weren't sure why people buy from you. You weren't sure about your selling skills. I think there's nothing more compelling than somebody saying, this is what happened to my skin. I did the research, tried the product, knew the company, and this is what happened to my skin. It is incredibly powerful. That's why you sell skincare.
I guess it is incredible. Yeah, definitely, because I get overly excited by it. I think when they see you going, oh my God, but I'm X years old now, and I saw this difference. They're going to believe that. You come across with a glow in your eyes, the smile on your face. You know that like this is incredible, as opposed to it just being, yeah, no, this is okay.
Now, we've talked about misconceptions in the past. Consumers have huge misconceptions about skincare. The one which upsets me the most was that paper in the Daily Mail in the 1990s saying that glycolic acid thins the skin, because there was a clinical paper that was published that demonstrated that glycolic acid thinned the stratum corneum, which was interpreted as the skin. Of course, we all know, because we've read the study thousands of times, literally, because it's such an important study, that actually glycolic acid thickens both the epidermis and the dermis. It's only the stratum corneum, and that's a good thing. So how do we get past these misconceptions, and what are the misconceptions you feel are most important?
SPF is a massive misconception. Buying one from a various store that's been on TikTok or whatever, you've got to do your due diligence when it comes to that one specifically. That would be a starting point for me to make sure it is efficacious in every way. The other side is I try and explain to them, try not to get caught up in the social media bubble. Try not, I mean, there's that Eva Longoria with the hyaluronic acid that she does online. And, you know, they all went out and bought it because hyaluronic acid is going to nourish your skin from the outside in. Well, no, it's not. Not when it's that particular product, because it can't. There is no proof that that can happen. But people run out and buy it. My thing is, if you do have any concerns, whatever it may be regarding your skin, please ask someone who actually knows what they're talking about, and not just go on social media or the payment from for TV advertising, because we know where that money goes. It goes on the advertising, not on the product itself. So going back to like that clinical evaluation in clinic, whether it's done by a beauty therapist or a medic, that is the most important part of the process of your treatment. And I personally believe, I don't know if you're with me on this one, Lorna, too, but a few years ago, it wasn't. It was very clinician-led. Now it's like a 50-50. They have to do half the job, as we have to do half the job. So they have to take home the relevant actives, the relevant products to maintain what we are doing clinically, to make sure their skin is at its optimum fitness, because it is alive. You know, it's a live organ. And if we mess around with it, which so many people do, it's going to come back and fight you. And that's why we see so many negatives and why we see irritations and problems with these cosmeceutical brands that haven't got any efficacy there, apart from could cause any systemic issues that may be internal to come forward, whereas we will never let that happen.
One of the misconceptions that I've talked about quite a lot recently, which I don't actually know that you and I have ever talked about this, is the number of patients I've had ringing me who, there's a huge amount of noise in the media at the moment about menopause. And I think it's incredibly value and I absolutely salute it. But one of the things that is happening is that people are associating aging skin as needing hyaluronic acid, as you've just mentioned. And we do need to make sure that we maintain or increase the amount of hyaluronic acid in our skin. However, what is one of the biggest symptoms of the menopause? It's hot flushes. It's sweating. And the number of people who've rung me and they've said, we've been recommended these products and now we seem to be getting a more moist skin all the time. Well, let's look at making sure the skin is behaving well. But if you're going to put in massive amounts of hydration to a skin where somebody's going to break out all the time in a sweat, not oil breakout, but a sweat breakout, you don't want their skin to be too wet, because they're just going to have a worse situation and then their makeup's not going to sit properly. So we have these patients coming to us all the time at the moment because everybody's jumping on the menopause bandwagon and not thinking about what that skin really needs. And so these misconceptions, we need to understand from within the industry, from within the beauty and aesthetic markets or fields, I think we should call the aesthetics side a field. We need to understand what we're doing to patient skin, because we think that, of course, we want hyaluronic acid there. Of course we do. It's the most popular filler and it's going to do amazing things. But it only occasionally gets in, as you've already said. But even if it does get in, do we really want it to be doing what it does to people who are going through the menopause? There's only a brief window of time. It might be a decade, but it's relatively brief. Outside of that, yes, absolutely. But during that time, is it cosmetically, is it in terms of personal hygiene, the best choice for the patient? Sometimes not.
It's like the be-all and end-all, people think, with hyaluronic acid, don't they? It's everything's the first product, the first thing they mention, the first thing they talk about. But that's why the diagnostic side of it is the most important. And that's why, if you are taking on a brand of any description, this is part of the training that you will get prior to using it. So you will understand this, especially with someone with menopause, because there are so many symptoms that they're going through that you could technically be making that situation they are going through at that point worse.
And conversely, if you put hyaluronic acid on the surface of the skin, the hyaluronic acid is a sponge. We know that's how it works. It draws water. It may draw water from the atmosphere, but it may also draw it out of the skin. So you may end up with a completely unbalanced skin, which is very moist on the surface. And I use the word moist advisedly. I mean waterlogged on the surface, and an absence of hyaluronic acid deeper into tissues. And then you're not going to have fibroblast activity functioning properly because it's not got enough hyaluronic acid, which I would describe as the fuel for the engine of the fibroblast. Yeah. So, yeah, we have to be really careful. Anyway, we're digressing. So I'm going to come back in to the next question, which is talk about skincare in terms of patient outcomes in clinic and different procedure pairings, perhaps. You know, if you're in clinic, if you're teaching somebody who's doing, let's say people are doing crow's feet treatments, would you recommend that they have a skincare to go with that? So the patient hasn't walked in asking for skincare. They've come in asking for an intervention, which is available within mm-hmm. the clinic. How do you then talk about skincare alongside?
It goes back to what you said about the 50-50. So we can help. From the clinical standpoint, the treatment, whether it's maybe needling or mesotherapy or peels, all of the above, but they need to take home that. So we need to then discuss what, I think of it as primary and secondary. So primary is what we're doing in clinics. Secondary is what they're doing at home. So the secondary is their maintenance of that specific condition. So perhaps it's, if it's pigmentation, then vitamin C would be a good place to start. But it could also be retinol as well, or a combination of both. Dehydration makes sense, hyaluronic acid. Fine lines and wrinkles, there's some various products out there. With the Revision range, have a specific product that's related to it's a peptide base, which supports the fine lines and wrinkles, especially eyes, around the mouth, et cetera, et cetera. So that I know will help that specific condition. And I'm very comfortable to be able to pass that on to them and go, you need to do this whilst you're still continuing to see me. And the same thing with the C plus, not just for pigmentation, but it's the support structure of the skin, the brightening. I mean, vitamin C is, if I'm honest, probably my personal favorite of everything. I think you know that anyway. And I think everyone should be on it. Though they're not all created equal, as we know, but we're not going to go into that today because we'll go off on a tangent.
The final question I've got for you is about using in-clinic treatments to drive skincare sales and skincare sales to drive footfall into the clinic, because the dream of a clinic is to have a brilliant clinic with patients walking in all day, every day, and to go home at night and have passive income while you're not in clinic.
I personally believe it's a sales for education thing again. Back in the day, it was very, I need to sell these products to up my salary. So here's my 5 products I recommend you take home. They stay in the cupboard. They very rarely use them. And there was, I think they did tests about the comeback or the repurchasing just didn't happen. Whereas now it's, to me, it's mandatory. I'm actually quite aggressive about it when I talk about it. Like, you have no choice but to give them this. Because if they don't, your treatments aren't going to be anywhere near as successful. They're not going to get the results long-term that they're looking for. And if you're giving them the right products and you've diagnosed the condition correctly, you will be able to get, they will be coming back automatically to purchase these particular ones going forward. And also you have to remember that it's a hand-holding exercise too, and a relationship between you and your client stroke patient. If you think that they need to be on vitamin C for maybe, well, I know forever, but if it's like 2 or 3 months and you've said that to them, don't let them purchase after 3 months. You want to see them and see how they're looking, how their skin is looking, how they are enjoying the process of it. And then at that point, because we don't know what's happened to them in that 3 months, you may, you know what? I think we need to add something else to your regime now. So you're actually working with them, not just expecting them to just carry on buying the same products day in, day out. And then that way, that relationship goes from strength to strength. And you are proving the fact, because you are going, you know, it is an organ. It does change, you know, throughout the year, whatever you're doing. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 months. So please come and see me when, or I do, what I say is, when the bottle's over, I'm not selling it to you until you see me. I want to see you face to face, please. Thanks very much. And then half the time you probably end up going out with the same thing, but I would just like to know that we are on the same wavelength and that your skin's doing what it needs to do.
So Andrew, it's been an absolute pleasure interviewing you today. I have learned, and I'm sure everybody listening has learned, and I think people are going to want to know how to access you and the education which you have.
Oh, thank you so much, Lorna. That's lovely. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I always love spending time with you anyway, and it's nice doing it this way. Like, you know, it's a nice chat. They can find me at achaesthetics.co.uk. There's loads of information on there that they can go through, or they can contact me through there anytime. And if there's any questions you want to ask, I'm always available, especially with what we talked about today. You know, I get questions, and I think it's relevant. If you want to call me up and say, what do you reckon about this particular product or this particular brand? Of course, I will be 100% honest.
Fabulous. I feel like booking in myself. So thank you very much indeed.
Conversations in Aesthetics was brought to you by Aesthetic Source, the award-winning distributor of clinically proven skincare brands. With our comprehensive portfolio, we are committed to providing your patients with tried and trusted products that work and providing you with the training, clinical and commercial support to help your business thrive. Visit us at aestheticsource.com.